You know, guys, I am thinking of a television program that many of you have seen. It's been on for a long time, and I think you're going to be able to guess what the name of this television program is. I'm going to give you two huge hints, all right? Pat Sajak and Vanna White, all right? All together. Great job. And I dug into the archives and I came across this particular episode in which somebody was really, really, really good at solving puzzles. Check it out. It was really amazing.
Thanks, John. We need a phrase this time. That's category for this puzzle, and it is a prize puzzle. Go ahead, Rick.
Gladly.
And what do we get here? 500.
R.
Boy, you'd think there'd be an R in there somewhere, wouldn't you? Obviously, you called it. Caitlin. One L.
Can you really solve?
What's that?
Can I solve?
Okay.
It is a prize puzzle.
Yeah.
I've got a good feeling about this.
That's right. Let me get over this first before you win it.
I had a good feeling about it.
Well, we might as well send it to the Caribbean, and that'll be it.
So, guys, what a crazy giftedness to be able to do that. Just come up with that. We're going to take a quick or game here where you vote on one or the other. I'm going to give you two choices, and you wildly cheer for one or the other. We're going to start with puzzles. How many of you are good or like to do puzzles or solve puzzles, and how many of you don't like puzzles? Let's hear from you. Love puzzles. You don't like puzzles. All right, how about this one? How about the early birds versus the night owl? Let's hear from the early birds. Let's hear from the night owls. Okay. Are you a talker or are you a listener? Let's hear it from the talkers. Let's hear it really loud from the listeners. Predictable. Okay, anyway. Are you a kind of person who likes to plan it, or do you like to wing it? Let's hear it from you like to plan it. Yeah. How about you like to wing it? Yeah. All right. Now, my apologies to everyone here. Last weekend, I talked about winter was coming, and then it snowed the next day. And I got a lot of angry emails complaining to me as if I had control over that. No, I didn't get any emails, but I just made that up. But I did feel responsible, not really, okay, but it snowed the day after I talked about snow. How many of you are summer people? How many of you are winter people? Let's hear it for summer. Yeah. Let's hear you winter people. Yeah. This is your time. Finally, are you more indoorsy or are you more outdoorsy? Let's hear it for indoorsy. Let's hear for outdoorsy. So guys, what I learned from this is that we're all so very different from one another. And yet, each of us can be a part of the whole that makes things happen and make things great. So we're in this series called Be Great, and it's the unexpected path to greatness. And that unexpected path we looked at for 2 weeks, and this is the third week, is the path of servanthood, serving other people. Jesus said, if you want to be great, become the servant of all. We're talking about serving other people. And so I want to take you to a passage of scripture that talks about how God can take you, who you are, how you're wired, your uniqueness, and make an amazing impact. You can be great being you the way God wired you to be. So come with me. There's a letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. It's called Romans. And in the first 11 chapters, Paul talks about this amazing salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And he goes to great lengths to explain God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness. And it culminates in the cross of Jesus Christ, where he gives his life to take away our sins, so that when we trust in him, God credits the righteousness of Christ into our account and says we can be his children, be forgiven, have eternal life. The Holy Spirit indwells us and we become new people in God, in Jesus Christ, in relationship with God. And that's, he kind of tells the whole plan of God in the first 11 chapters. In the 12th chapter, he turns to practicalities and he says, okay, here's how you live it out. So come with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, everything he's been talking about for the last 11 chapters, in view of incredible grace and mercy of God, all the ways he expresses it, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So put your whole self in, he's saying. Give yourself wholly to God. Don't hold back. Offer your whole life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Worship is not just singing songs, although it includes that praise, but it's really giving all of our lives to God, and that's true worship. He goes on, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, instead of letting the world squeeze you into its mold, let God transform your life and make you into the new creation he wants you to be, so that you may, by the renewing of your mind, you begin to look at things differently, you begin to think of things differently, you look through the world through a different set of lenses, so that you may discern, that means to test and approve, what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. When we give ourselves wholly to God because of all of his mercies, and when our minds are transformed, and when we are renewed, we get to say, wow, God, this is your will for my life. And we find out it's good, it's not evil, it's pleasing, it actually brings us joy, and it's perfect. God's will for me, God's will for you is not exactly the same, but it's perfect. As we give ourselves over to God, we find out God's perfect will for each one of us. So then he turns from that, and he's gonna, in all of the rest of Romans chapter 12, he talks about practical ways you live this out. I'm just gonna focus in on verses 3-8, which is about serving. And so this is how you be great. And you answer three questions. And they're three important questions. The first question is this: who am I? You can jot that down if you like. Who am I? And the goal here is I will build self-awareness. Now, we've all known people that do not have very good self-awareness. They are clueless about how they're coming across. They don't understand how to build a knowledge of who they are. They don't understand their strengths and weaknesses. And what God is saying here, if you're gonna start to be great, the first step is to figure out who you are and to have self-awareness. Who am I really? And so he says this in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly. Be reasonable, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. So guys, here's the thing. He says, view your life sensibly. Now for some of you, you need to remember what he said in verse 1. Because when you look at your life and you think, how could I be great? Because I have this baggage, or I have this bad experience, or I've got these flaws, or I have these sins that I've done in the past, or whatever. And what I want to say to you is, you know what you need to do? You need to view your life through the lens of the mercies of God. He says, in view of the mercies of God. So you're not your past and your mistakes and your flaws and your sins. You're a child of God now. You're forgiven of your past. You are a new person now. The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. The Bible says you're adopted into the family of God now. You're one of God's own sons or daughter. And you need to view your life completely differently. So that's sensible. In view of the mercies of God, that's how you view your life. On the other hand, he says we need to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. In other words, don't get carried away that you think you're awesome and amazing and you become obnoxious and arrogant. He says be humble, but be realistic. So here's an interesting poll I saw recently. It said, it was a poll in the United States, and it said 95% of all Americans consider themselves to be above average drivers. Guys, the math doesn't work. By just math, half of the people here are below average drivers. Would you please point to the person that you came with who's the below average driver? No, don't do that. Okay, no, don't do that. So we just need to measure ourselves sensibly and have a realistic view of ourselves. And he says, as a distributed measure of faith to each one. What are we talking about here? He said, you know, all of us have different gifts and abilities, and all of us also are along the spectrum in terms of spiritual growth and maturity. So some are further along than others. And you need to look at your life and just be realistic and take an assessment and say, in view of the mercies of God, here's who I am in Christ, and here's who I realistically am in terms of my gifts and abilities and so forth. And you can ask friends to get weigh in on that. But you get this realistic self-assessment, and that's so important. But you really need to remember who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ is so important. I'm going to tell you a story of two women, both of them named Katie. Katie number one, her name is Katie Hudson. Here she is. Katie Hudson is an amazing Christian singer. She actually sang on this platform in 2001 in the Strangely Normal Tour. It's one of the first concert we had here in this building. And she was amazing. And guess what? We met her, super vivacious, beautiful young woman in every way. She was vivacious, having all sorts of conversations with people. Our daughters, who were young then, very little, they got their pictures with her, and it was just great. And she had a tremendous voice, a tremendous story, just one thing after another, just an amazing person. That's Katie Hudson. Second, Katie Perry. Now, Katy Perry is on the other end of the spectrum. Katy Perry is kind of outlandish and out there, and she says provocative things. It does provocative music, and I'm not her judge or anything, but she's just kind of out there, right? And she's all over the map in terms of spirituality. She talks about lots of different things. She's recently gone through, some people have made some accusations against her, and so she's having this PR issues and all sorts of things. So that's two, Katie Hudson on this end and Katy Perry on the other end. But here's the crazy thing, guys. Katie number one and Katie number two are the same person. Katie Hudson is Katy Perry. That means Katy Perry sang on this platform in 2001. And she jumped to a secular music and kind of left behind her Christian music and absorbed into all sorts of things. And I don't know what happened along the way there. And I'm not her judge, but all I want to say to you is this, guys, who are you? Who am I? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but view your life through the mercies of God and come to an accurate self-assessment of who you are. That's the first step. The second one is we ask ourselves the second question, and that is, where do I belong? Where do I belong? And here's the goal here is I will connect with the body of Christ. So where do I belong? How do I fit into the body of Christ? And so Paul writes these words this way in verse 4. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. In other words, Paul says that in the body, the physical human body has many parts to it, and they don't have the same function. How many of you this morning brought your entire body to church? Raise your hand, please. Okay, 85%, I'd say. So 15% of you left body parts at your house or your apartment. Great. But we need all the parts of our body, right, to function. And he's saying, you know what, in the same way, the church is like that. And did you know this? This analogy of the body, this movement, this organization, this family, the church, called the body, the Apostle Paul actually, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually came up with that metaphor. He's the first person who had ever compared a movement of people or a family of people or an organization to a human body. he actually coined this concept. And he says, it's a great analogy because we need all the parts of our body. How many of you wouldn't miss your, you know, like your right arm? No, everybody here would miss. You need that. You need your eyes. You need all the parts of your body. And if any of these things going wrong or missing or whatever, it causes problem. And he's saying, it's the same way, guys. We all need each other. We need all the parts of the body. And they have different functions. The human body, all the different functions in the body. In fact, science is catching up to this truth of Romans 12, because for a while they thought, well, this body part doesn't have any function. Like the appendix, even the name suggests it has no function. It's like an appendix. It's not really important. We put it at the end of the book, right? But it actually does have a function. Mine is missing, okay? Got taken out years ago. But they actually have discovered that the appendix does have a function, actually boosts your immune system and fights infection, something to do with that. And so every part of the body is necessary. And he's saying everybody here is important and necessary to the functioning of this body, this local church. That's what he's saying here. We need every part of the body. We don't compare. We don't compete with each other. We all need each other. It's not like Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, some people get arrogant and say, everybody needs to be like me because I'm the eye and I see things. And he goes, if everybody was an eye, like the whole body an eye, not only would that be incredibly grotesque and ugly, but where would the sense of hearing be? You need everything, all the parts. And a friend of mine calls it gift projection. Let's say that you're really good at something. You're really gifted in something, and then you project that on the entire body. It's like, everybody needs to be like I am, because I have this gift. And it's like, no, don't do that. Like, you have this big passion for like fasting or something. It's like, everybody needs to fast like I fast, or everybody needs to do prayer like this, or everybody needs to serve in this way. And it's like, no. Don't mistake your personal passion as the calling of everybody in the body. It's your personal passion, and that's beautiful. That's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ, but not everybody has to be like that. And then every member belongs to all the others. We're all in this together, right, gang? We all need each other's encouragement and cheering and prayers. We all need each other, right? Right? Yeah, we do. Okay, it's just a public service announcement heading into the holidays. Just a reminder for everybody here. Friends don't give friends fruitcake for the holidays. Just a reminder, okay? But we all need each other. We need your wisdom, and we need your kindness, and we need your skill, and we need your sense of humor, and we need your planning skills, and we need your patience, and we need that do-it-yourself ability, yours, yeah. We need your joy, and we need your perseverance back there, and we need your insight, and we need your mercy, and we need you're a truth teller, and you're a grace giver, and we need them all for the body to function well. I think about this in our own family. You know, Ruth and I are blessed and privileged to have three kids, Angela, Maria, and Isaac. And they're married. Angela's married to Daniel, and Maria's married to Kenny. And they're just great. All those people are great in their own way. But they are so different from one another. When I think of Angela, she's the firstborn, and she has those firstborn traits. She's a leader, and she's analytical, and she's a strategic person, and she's a planner. I mean, she was the director of our Good for All conference. That's what she's good at. She's a communicator. Then there's Maria, and she is an amazingly gifted person. When she went to Drake University, and she had a double major. Her majors were biochemistry, cell and molecular biology, and chemistry. And I turned to Ruth and say, how did we have this child? Because neither of us have any of those skills. It's like, how did that happen? So she's incredibly analytical in science and great at that sort of stuff. And she worked at Pioneer in the science field. And then she kind of moved over, and now she's working at Principal, and she has an IT job. What? Yes, she just taught herself on her own how to program and code and all that kind of stuff, and now she's a data engineer. Again, is this really our child? I mean, she's an amazing person, but she also has a kind of an artsy side, and so she loves movies and books and so forth. She and Kenny have actually launched this incredible thing Here, it's one of our most effective community bridges. In fact, I'll show a picture of it here. It's the classic film DSM club group, and they just launched this to be a community bridge to people at Valley Community Center. And once a month, they have a movie. And look, it's grown to 213 members. Now, on any given night, maybe 20 show up. It's for adults. And they just watch a classic movie. But it helps them to build relationships with people. No one in the group except them are part of Valley Church. So everybody, it's a very effective community bridge because they're reaching. That's a different skill set. I can't do that. And then there's Isaac. He's our son, and he is incredibly gifted with science and math and computers, and he's a college student now. He's a major in computer science. He can solve things and understand things that nobody rest in our family can, and that's amazing, and that's awesome. And he also has a serving heart. You know, during the summers that he's here, he in the past has run the coffee ministry, so preparing all the coffee and stuff. He's done that. And so just he's a guy that just plunges into to what he's good at, and he does a great job. It takes everybody to do that. And that's just my family. And then if you were to multiply those stories through everybody here today, it would just be amazing. It would blow us away. And we all need each other. And you all have strengths. So connect with your strengths to the body of Christ and make sure, because we need all the parts of our body to function. And then thirdly, we ask, what is my purpose? And I will fulfill my unique role. What is my purpose? I will fulfill my unique role. Here he says here, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. So you're different. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're different. I mean, yeah, you're really different. Okay, go ahead. Okay. We have different gifts. And then he lists out seven of them. Okay, you with me? He says, and these are just random samplings. It's not like exhaustive, but it's like seven that kind of cover the bases. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. If giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. Everybody here is a gifted person in some way. Do you believe that? Okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Everyone, raise your right hand and repeat after me. By the grace of God, I am a gifted person. I have something to offer. To build up this body. Yes, you do. Okay, so what are these? Each gift, he lists the seven of them out. Congratulations. And they're to be lived out with humility and with authenticity and with passion. And everybody's gifts are going to be a little bit different from one another, but one of or two of them are going to kind of push out. It's like everybody does all seven of these, but you're like going to major in one or two of them. Like here's this word cloud. We got this word cloud. Yeah, it's like it's all of Romans 12, 1 through 8 is on here, but like serve and serving for you might pop out. And then another person, Romans 12, 1 through 8 is all here, but like encouraging is going to pop out. That's what your gift is. So we do all seven. Everybody gives, everybody encourages, everybody serves, but you kind of major in one or two of them, all right? And it's uniquely expressed by each person. So let's give some examples here. He says, if it's prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. Now, here, guys, I got to talk to you about prophecy, because for the longest time in my Christian life, I read this passage, and it's like prophecy, and it's kind of like a spooky thing where weird people predict the future and, you know, get up and yell prophetic things, and it's just so weird and uncomfortable, and it's like, really? And in these days, and you see them on TV, it's like, God told me to tell you to buy a 2016 Honda and give it to me. Right? No, we're not going to go there, okay? That's weird. I got this word from the Lord. No, no. And it's kind of weird and uncomfortable, and everyone wants to leave except that person. So what is prophecy? Well, it's different than Old Testament prophecy, and we'll take a minute to explain all this. It's different. In Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to particular people at particular time for particular purposes. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers for all times, for all sorts of purposes. And so prophecy in the New Testament takes on a very different flavor. It's not really predicting the future. Only very seldom does that ever happen. But it is more like this. It's speaking forth, spontaneously sharing something from your heart. that God has put on your heart. It doesn't have the authority of the Old Testament prophets. It's like, no, we don't have to do that. In fact, Paul even says in one book, when you hear like this prophecy, like weigh it out. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Some of you get told some word from somebody and it's like, that's loopy and weird. Okay, let it go. You don't need to follow that. Other times you hold on to it and you say, wow, that makes sense. Let me give you what I think is a fair definition of prophecy in the New Testament and in the current day. It is simply this. It is simply in the spirit of Jesus saying something God has spontaneously laid on your heart and saying it, saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. That's really what it is. It's sensing that God has put something in there, and in the spirit of Jesus, you say the right thing in the right way at the right time. That's what this is. And by the way, I think this is the most one of the most common gifts given to the church. If you're a part of a life group and you know other Christians, you've seen this gift in operation. You just know what it was called. And what is it? It's like when somebody says, you know what? I want to encourage you. You know, God, I just see your life and God just laid in my heart. You know what? You're a good mom. I know it's hard and you're busy and you got three little kids. But I saw you the other day when you were helping your little girl who was struggling. And I just want to tell you, I keep going strong because you're a great mom. That's great. It's saying the right thing at the right time in the right way in the spirit of Jesus. Another person says, you know what? I just feel burdened that we need to pray for those missionary friends of ours back in Athens. Let's pray for them tonight, can we? And it was, yeah, that's great. Or another person says, you know what? I really want to affirm, it seems like you're just so gifted at teaching or you're gifted at mercy or you know what? I think this is something that you could pursue. Maybe it's a job they're looking at and said, you know, you give them something that God's laid on your heart. Now, it doesn't have absolute authority. They weigh it out. It's like, okay, that's weird. And they just leave it behind. But sometimes it's like, that really hit the mark. And that's beautiful. And we need more of that. So let's do that. And maybe that's your gift. You say the right thing in the right spirit in the right way at the right time. And we need more of that. And we all do that at times, but there's some people that are just really good at that. And so pursue that. And by the way, just do us all a favor. I know the Bible calls us prophesying, but the word is so misunderstood and misinterpreted that unless you're with a really biblically literate group, people are going to think you're a freak if you start calling yourself a prophet. Like, I'm a prophet and I'm prophesying. So just call it talking to people, okay, and saying the right thing at the right time in the right spirit, okay. Serving, second one, serving. If service, use it in service. What's serving? It's meeting practical needs. There are some people that are great at meeting practical needs. They see it and they're like, I'm here to help. Put me in, coach. And it's just like, I'm here. I want to just help out. I don't need to know about it. Just show me how to do it and I'll do it. And that's awesome. And the church needs people like this by in informal ways and informal ways, in actual volunteer roles and just out in the community, meeting practical needs. It's amazing. Then there's teaching. If your gift is teaching, then teach. This is communicating God's truth and wisdom. Whereas prophesying is a little bit more informal and spontaneous, teaching is a little bit more prepared. It's like the passage is studied and then it's communicated. Or a topic or an issue is really thought through and then it's communicated. And for teaching, I'm gonna give you an acronym. If you have a teaching gift, and that can be with large groups, small groups, one-on-one, it can be as a parent, it can be as a small group leader, it can be as a teacher in a large group. But there's an acronym, ARC, the Arc of Teaching. If you have a teaching gift, three things. A, it needs to be accurate. In other words, it needs to measure up and be in alignment with the Word of God. R, it needs to be relevant. That is, it connects to real life. It actually addresses real life issues. And C, it needs to be compelling. It needs to be delivered in such a way that people don't fall asleep. Wake up back there, okay? All right. So that's teaching. Fourth, encouraging. If exhorting in exhortation. This word is hard to translate, actually, and it includes three things. It's exhorting, which means, come on, guys, let's go. Sometimes it means a little kick in the pants and like, let's go. Then it also includes the idea of comforting. It's not a kick in the pants. It's an arm around the shoulder. And then the third word is encouraging. It's words that bless people and encourage them. It's all three of those. Really, it's kind of a coach who knows a coaching gift. It's they know when people need to be pushed, when they need to be arm around the shoulder, and when they need to just hear some affirmation. It's a good coach. Some of you have good coaching gifts, and I'm not talking just sports. I'm talking all of life. You're just good encouragers, exhorters, comforters. Keep pursuing that gift. There's so many needs around for that. Fifthly, giving. If your gift is giving, do it with generosity. Now, everybody gives. Like, say, everybody serves. Everybody gives to meet the needs of the body of Christ and to meet the needs of people in need. But there's some people that are specifically gifted in this. Maybe God has just blessed you with an ability to make money. And God's blessed you with a lot of resources. And that's a gift that you have. And you have a heart to use those funds to make a difference. He says, go for it. Be generous. Don't hold back. Go all in. And just be as generous as God leads you to be. And then there's leading. Leading, if you're a leader, with diligence. How do you know if you have a gift of leadership? Well, let's say you're walking. Are people following you? Because if no one's following you, you're just out for a walk, right? You don't have a leadership gift. But if you're doing things and people are like, they're listening, they're following, they're tracking with you, then that might be a leadership gift. And he says, do that with diligence. In other words, stay after it, keep focused, have integrity, don't blow it, don't abuse people, don't mistreat people, but do it well, lead well. It's a great gift. You cause other people to think about how to do something or what to think, and then how to act on that. And then the last one he mentions is showing mercy. He says, if your gift is showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Some of us have this gift of like, you just love, your compassion is overwhelming, your kindness, and you actually put it into action. You don't just feel it, you do something about it. That's the gift of mercy. Some people don't have this. I came across this little picture. This is like going the extra mile. We got that? I don't always go the extra mile, but when I do, it's because I miss my exit. But there's some people who naturally want to go the extra mile for people. They're like, I love going the extra mile. And that's a gift of mercy. It's personal face-to-face kindness in action for those in need. But when you do that gift, do it cheerfully, he says. Don't gripe about it. Don't say, oh, this is so hard. I went the extra mile, but now I'm so tired. No, just have fun with it. Be joyful with it, he says. Here's somebody. Somebody had, you know, just put the trash out, and they just had fun with this. We have this mattress picture. Yeah, there it is. Nothing really mattress. Whatever. Just having fun with something. They're taking the trash out, and they're just doing that. Have fun with it. All right. Now, I want to talk to you, somebody. Heather Rowley, where are you? Come on up. Can we cheer really loudly for Heather Rowley? Come on up here. Okay, Heather. Heather Rowley, stand up, right up here. And she loves the limelight. No, she doesn't.
I actually do.
Yeah, you know what? God's gifted you with a gift of mercy, and you really championed this cause of Operation Christmas Child, these Christmas boxes that go all over the world. Share a few things about that, Heather, with the folks here.
Actually, all you guys at Valley love this cause, and I just want to just express my thanks on behalf of all the millions, 11 million kids that get these boxes. These boxes are going into areas where either they've never heard the name of Jesus or they've heard it in a very negative fashion. And so what we really are doing is we're not just putting toys and school supplies in a box, but we are, and we're doing that to give them joy, but we're bringing them the opportunity to know that God loves them. And Jesus, they can follow Jesus and have hope in their life. Because isn't that what we all want? This is a box that has come to the display this morning, beautifully filled box, a combination of toys and school supplies, personal care items. There's a little scrunchie in there. Some gal in our church made 4,000 of those. Sweet lady named Mary, and she made 4,000 scrunchies. Oh, bless your heart, Mary. So this is what it's the body.
Yeah, let's hear. That's awesome. Way to go. That's awesome.
That's the body of Christ in action, and we're doing that to reach children, needy children all over the world. So thank you. Valley Church this year will be the church that has filled the most boxes in the whole state. About 1,200 get filled here at the display.
That's worthy of a cheer. Yep. Praise to God.
Another 1,200 at the Community Center Packing Party, which is next Sunday, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock for families with special needs, and 4:30 to 6:30 for the general public. So please come and just fill boxes to your heart's content. Bring those boxes in. They've been flying out the door empty. Let's see them fly back in full, okay? Thank you, guys.
Can we cheer for Heather Rowley for really helping us with this cause? It's really great. Thank you, Heather. You know, I'm so grateful for Valley and the people who've shown such mercy. So grab a box on the way out, and just great. And by the way, Heather, I got to put a little plug in for her. Heather was actually on Wheel of Fortune, and I couldn't find the clip. She was on Wheel of Fortune, and she said the only reason I went on Wheel of Fortune is so that I could give a commercial for Operation Christmas Child. And she did. She gave a little 15-second commercial. You know, hey, wait a minute, Pat. And she says she has to put that plug in, and he they kept it in. They could edit it out, but they didn't. And so she just wants to promote that. Goes the extra mile for that. Can we cheer one more time for Heather Rowley and Operation Christmas Child? All right, guys. So take out your worship folder, and you know, there's some of you here that are like super involved and you're already serving regularly, but there's some of you are still looking for an opportunity to get plugged in. And so on the bottom of your worship folder is a community card, and you can fill that out. But there's some sign up opportunities, and it says opportunities to serve, and it's got a list of all these different ones where you could serve. And I want to encourage you, choose one or two of those, check those boxes, somebody will get a hold of you, put it in the offering at the end of the service, and we'll get a hold of you. To find out where your part in the body of Christ. These are just easy first serve steps. If you're like, I'm not sure about this, well then there are people out, and Andy and Summer mentioned all the different folks who are going to be out in the atrium. Go over on this side of the atrium and go talk to people and bring your card with you, fill it out, bring your card with you and give it to them or talk to them about how you might get plugged in. And you can learn more about specifics of some of the roles that are needed. I just mentioned we'd love to have 200 people, to new volunteers. And praise God, we have 101 so far. So we got 99 to go. Let's see that happen this week and next. I want to invite people also to the meet and greet. Some of you I've never met before, or we haven't talked for a long time or whatever. I'd love to meet you. We're going to have a meet and greet right after this service is over. Please go there. We're also inviting people today to the meet and greet who have lived in 3 or more states. Just like to greet you and meet you. And there for anybody that fits those, either newcomer or want to connect or lived in 3 more states, we have some free Cold Stone ice cream back there, and it's awesome and delicious. So please join me. I conclude with this, guys. Yesterday was a great day. Last night, my wife, the awesome Ruth Steef, came to Saturday night worship, and so Ruth Steef is back in the house. It has been, guys, 2.5 months since Ruth had that cancer removed, and she's cancer-free, and it's been a long road. Yeah, that's great, guys, but it's been a long road, and it's been 2.5 months since she has been able to be here at worship, and it was so great to have her back in worship. And this week, we got out some. I show a picture here. I'm pushing Ruth around in a wheelchair there on a beautiful fall day in Des Moines. It was just special, and I got in this message, I started reflecting on everything we've been through, and I just looked at these 7 gifts I just mentioned, and I see every one of them being used for us to help encourage Ruth and me. I see the serving gift. That's meeting practical needs. People have stepped up. People have built ramps to help us have the ramp to get a wheelchair into the house. People have met practical needs and in so many different ways, and running errands and bringing food and so many things I can't even have time to mention. And then there's the teaching gift. I think of people who have included scriptures in things that they've shared. Or I think back to all the lessons that Ruth and I have learned from various pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers throughout our whole lives. And how all those truths that soaked into our hearts have helped us through these last 3 months. And then I think about encouraging gifts, and there's some people that are just so incredibly, they put your arm around you and they comfort you and encourage you and give you a little push when you need a little push, and they're just great. It's been fantastic, and we've needed that. And then there's people who've given gift. They've gone above and beyond. I mean, there's some people who have given me gift cards for restaurants. They said, Quentin, you're gonna have a hard time because you can't cook. And Ruth's not gonna be able to do it. So here's a gift. And they gave me restaurant gift cards, and I've loved that. I really, 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 really have loved that. And then there's people who gave us a wheelchair, and there's people who've given us this, and they've given us that. It's been so helpful. And then there's leading, people who just lead efforts. I'll tell you a great leader at our church. Her name is Debbie Leidick. She's the director of our women's ministries. And Debbie said, we need people to go into the home, into your home, and to visit with Ruth, and it frees me up to be able to come to the office. And so she has set up a schedule, and she has a woman come to spend a few minutes or up to a couple hours even, every morning and evening, to come in, and when I'm working, to spend time with Ruth and help her out with around the house. And it's just amazing. And then there's the showing mercy gift. And from a group of people here at Valley, we got this, the quilter group, got this beautiful quilt, an incredible and merciful thing, practical but also filled with meaning and truth. And the last one is that crazy prophesying gift. Saying in the spirit of Jesus, just the right thing at just the right time in just the right spirit. And so many of you have done that to me and for me and with Ruth and to Ruth in cards and gifts and prayers. God bless you guys for being the body of Christ. It's beautiful. And as I was pushing Ruth in the wheelchair, and I told you guys this before, but just a reminder, you know, it's that word saying just the right thing at the right time in the right spirit. It sent me back to when I was 21 years old, and Ruth and I had just been engaged, and I went to a neighbor friend of mine who knew both Ruth and me, and I told her, we're going to get married. We're engaged. I was 21 years old, and I remember this woman who was she was old enough to be my mother, and she said, Quentin, I'm so excited for you, but I need to ask you, do you really love Ruth? And I said, oh, I really love her. She says, no, I mean, do you really, really love her? And I said, yes, I do. She goes, then I need to ask you this. Are you still gonna love her when you're pushing her around in a wheelchair because she has cancer? She said that to me when I was 21 years old. I remembered it then. I remember it now. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We all need each other. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've gifted people with so many different gifts to use to bless their families, their friends, this community, this church, and even our enemies. Use all the gifts of this body to bless your name, to exalt the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed and said, amen.